Our gospel for this day is the gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter, beginning with the 23rd verse. Today, as you listen to this passage of Scripture, these are words of Jesus in which he casts vision. He is, in fact, inviting us to hear the light. Listen carefully to these words of instruction from Jesus himself. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." Let me read that one more time. And this time, as we hear these words, know that these are words spoken directly from Jesus. They are words with condition. They are words meant to be filled with grace if we will hear them that way. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, 'I am going away and am coming back to you.' If you love me, you'll be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it happens, you will believe." These are the words of God for us this day. I invite you to please be seated. I invite you to join with me in a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for saying yes to us. Yes, you care about us, even when the world oftentimes sends us other messages. Yes, you love us so much that on this weekend, when our country remembers those who sacrificed their lives for our freedom, we remember also that you sent your Son to sacrifice his life not only for our freedom, also for our salvation. Lord, help us to better understand, appreciate, believe, and live in the light of hearing this good news. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, it's been a little while since I showed you a picture of one of our grandchildren. And knowing that you just need to see that, I decided to show you a picture of Andy, now 5.5 months old, who was baptized the Sunday after Easter. And when we received this picture of Andy from his mom, our daughter-in-law, Dana, just 2 days ago, she said this. She said, "It seems like only yesterday he was in diapers, and now he's driving." You know, over and over, he's still in diapers, by the way. And I hope that he just continues to keep his driving to the plastic vehicle he's got in his house. But you know, over and over again this week, I have heard that refrain. This past Friday was the last day of preschool. And I cannot begin to tell you the number of moms and dads who came up to me and said, "It seems like only yesterday that my son started preschool. Where did the year go?" And if they were among those for whom this was their last year of preschool, there were some tears coming down the cheeks as they thought about the first day and now this day, and where did that time go? Over and over again this week, as we have celebrated graduations, and there are more graduations even this weekend. And the theme that I have heard time and time and time again has been, where did that time go? You baptized this son or daughter of mine, and now, where did that time go? I've had several conversations recently with those who have recently retired, and as we reflected together, they were saying, where did that time go? It went so fast. Where did that time go? Perhaps you've heard that old phrase. I love it. I cherish it. But it does cause me to reflect. Perhaps you've heard it. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So as we think about how quickly, how elusive time can be, isn't time seem to be as fleeting and elusive as a monarch butterfly on a warm summer day? If we ever have a warm summer day, maybe we'll understand that a little better. But time, does it not seem to escape rather quickly? And how do we put our lives in the context of only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last? How do we understand all of that? Well, today we are engaging in a new series. It's entitled Hearing the Light, a Study in Visions. And you know that's a double metaphor, maybe a mixed metaphor. It seems to play with our minds, our imaginations a little bit. If so, that's its intent, to be sure. Jesus helped us to better understand what it means to hear the light in our gospel today when he said these words, if anyone loves me, God's love is not conditional, but God's love is transparent. And the mark of our love is seen in what comes next. If anyone loves me, they will obey my teaching. It's not conditional. We don't have to obey God's teaching in order for God to love us. But a sign, an indicator that God's love is present and dwelling in us is that when we love God, as God has first loved us, we obey his teaching. It's a mark. It's a characteristic of love. Jesus provides a vision of what God's love looks like if we will only but listen to his teaching. He helps us to see and to hear his word when we say yes. In other words, our yes is a response to God's yes to us. Our yes is a way of demonstrating that we're obeying God's teaching. And then, in fact, we hear the light, God's light. And so what are those teachings of Jesus? When Jesus was asked that question, what are the teachings that are most important? Jesus responded this way. He referred back to the great Shema in the Old Testament from Deuteronomy chapter 6. He said, this is the greatest of all God's teachings. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And he added this from the Holiness Code, Leviticus 19, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the greatest of all my teachings, all God's teachings. When you do those things, you are obeying my teachings. This Thursday, May 30th, is Ascension Day, the day we celebrate Jesus ascending into heaven. And do you remember the last words that Jesus spoke before he ascended into heaven? They're a part of his teaching, are they not? They're a part of his instruction to obey these as a mark that you love me. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Teaching them to obey. A mark, a characteristic of God's love for us and God's love in and through us. We happen to have somebody in our congregation worshiping with us today who's been hearing the light in a very interesting way. Our very own John Dunsmore is with us, back from Guatemala, language school. And I've asked John to share a little bit of his journey today as he has been hearing the light. In fact, John, together, you and I spent some time looking at John 14 this past week. And as we studied the scripture together this week, one of the things that became apparent to us was that we hear the light when we hear God's yes to us and God's yes through us. Can you tell us about a couple of examples of where you heard God's yes to you?
Yes, definitely I can. It's a process of opening yourself up to and becoming a receptor of Him speaking to you. You have to kind of stop and change your habit just a little bit so that you can listen to Him. But the first time he really hit me upside the head kind of hard was when I went down to Costa Rica to visit my sister at Christmas a couple years ago. I spent a lot of time sitting on the porch and reading my devotional and kind of being in a crossroads in my life and saying, okay, where do I go from here? What do you want me to do? Use me as you will, but just show me what you want me to do. And I felt this call to go into full-time missionary work, and I had no earthly idea what that meant or what it looked like or what I was even saying to myself when I said it. And it was like, you got the right number here? You want to try another one? I started researching what that meant for me and what path that really meant for me to walk down. And then I wanted to go on this trip to Honduras, but it didn't look like it was going to work out for me. But then at the last minute, an opportunity came for me to go to Honduras on a mission trip. I found myself there, and again, saying, okay, God, where are you leading me to? What do you want me to do? And I don't know how to explain it. I just felt Him saying, you are there right now. This is where you're supposed to be. And so I have kind of taken it from there and following. Once you start following what God is telling you to do, the doors just keep opening up in front of you, and the opportunities to continue that path, just it's just natural, and just the flow is, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing because He's leading me to do it. So
John, when you heard God saying yes to you, this was the sense of the calling that you received. God doesn't call all of us to be full-time missionaries to Honduras. God has put that call on your heart. But God calls each of us in special ways, not always in that way. That's your call. That's God's yes to you. Can you give us some examples of how you think in your time here in the Naperville area that God said yes through you?
Most definitely. In my research and trying to figure out exactly what full-time missionary work meant, I did a lot of different work in a lot of different missions that this church does to see if that was a better fit or if this was the right fit. And through Rebuild Together Aurora and through Feed My Starving Children and through Habitat for Humanity, a lot of those different things that I've been working with, I felt God working through me to use my talents to fix problems for people that were easy for me but a challenge for them.
And I know, John, having known you, that these were ways in which you responded to God's call. And we thank God for you, John. We thank God that you listened to His yes to you. He took you out of a rather dark place and brought you to a place where you could hear his light.
Absolutely.
And you are following that call, and we want to affirm you, John, as you leave at the end of this coming week
right.
to go and be a full-time missionary at El Adante, Honduras. God's blessings, as God has said yes, and you have responded. God's blessings to you, John. John had no idea that that was the calling that God was putting on his heart until a lot of different things happened and opened that path. But God does different things in each of our lives. As we evaluate our lives and think about how quickly life can go, I mean, 57 years ago, you were married and you celebrate that anniversary today. How quickly the time goes. I think we recognize that God says yes to us no matter what situation we are in our lives. John, you shared with me that you were really at a dark place before you saw God's light. I'd like to suggest that God says yes to our mess. I know that sounds a lot like God saying yes to the dress, and maybe it sounds like I've copied that. It's totally different than that popular show. God says yes to our mess. The fact of the matter is, in Romans chapter 3, it says all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have messy lives. It's exactly because we have messy lives that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live, to die, to rise again for our mess, so that we who are stuck in sin might not stay stuck in the mess. God says yes to us. Yes, I love you. Yes, I care for you. And you know, this is a month. May is a month when we celebrate mental health awareness. And I think sometimes the devil even plays on some of those kinds of situations in our lives where we think we are not of value, where we think we are not as good, and we diminish what God has created us to be. When we realize that God says yes to our mess and chooses not to let us be stuck there, then we can cope with mental health awareness issues. We can realize that we have a loving God who cares for us and cherishes us and wants to bring us back into the light if we will only hear God's yes to our mess. We just finished the men's Christ Renews Parish. And one of the things that's characteristic of Christ Renews Parish is there's some messy stuff that happens. And I'm not just talking about what happens in the kitchen. I'm talking about the messy stuff that happens as people share what's gone in their lives. And always through the messages of Christ Renews Parish, it's an opportunity to hear God's yes to the mess. We get to hear examples of how God's light heard by those who heard God's yes. What a difference it made in their lives. In just a couple of weeks, we're going to have Vacation Bible School here at Good Shepherd. All indicators are that this is going to be the biggest Vacation Bible School ever at Good Shepherd, which is saying something, because last year's Vacation Bible School was the biggest Vacation Bible School ever. And you need to know that it's probably going to get messy. You know, just ask Bob, our property guy. Just ask Bethany and her team as they're getting ready. It's getting messy. But we believe that God has said yes. God is sending all of these. The pre-registrations are off the charts. The waiting list is growing. And there's two issues that have to be resolved if we're really going to experience the ultimate yes of having the biggest Vacation Bible School ever. It looks like we're going to have over 500 kids. It means we need 250 leaders to care for them, because that's the ratio that's important for all the different tasks But here's the two issues. We don't have enough space for that many. And yet, we know that we cannot say no if God is bringing these children. We cannot say no if God is bringing these families to this place where, in some cases, these children living in the greater Naperville community will hear about Jesus for the first time, believe it or not. Some of these children and families will grow in a relationship with God like they never have before. Some of those leaders and children will have their lives impacted and transformed like they never have before. We cannot afford to say no. God is saying yes to us by bringing these numbers, these families, these children. We have to say yes. So the two yeses that we're working on right now are that we need to create more space. We've already got plans to move furniture out of certain areas so we can get more little bodies into them. We're already looking at what does it look like to have tents set up or other spaces set up to maximize the space that God has given us, because God has said yes to us. God has blessed us with an incredible facility. And even with this incredible facility, God is outgrowing the boundaries, and we are so grateful. But the other big yes that needs to happen is that we already have 170 leaders who have said yes. But we need 75 more. We need 75 more yeses if we're going to accommodate all the children we anticipate that God is bringing. And we know that you are important people with important things going on in your life. So if you happen to pray about this and then say no, we know that you're doing it for really good reasons. Reasons that are way more important than helping a little child learn about Jesus. Reasons that are way more important than helping a family who doesn't really know God come into a relationship. And if Kids Matter is more than a slogan, if Relationships Are Caring is more than just a cute phrase, then we need to say yes to God's yes. So I'm inviting you. In fact, I'm cashing in some pastoral chips that I've built up over the 22 years I've been here. To say, we need you to pray about saying yes. We've already had several people who are taking vacation so they can say yes. We have a number of people who are changing their summer plans to say yes because it's that big a deal. It really is. So I'm inviting you. It sounds like I'm coercing you. Perhaps, I don't know. We're inviting you to say yes to the yes that God's providing for you. It is really that big a deal. At the 11 o'clock service today here, we're going to have a baptism. It seems like we have a baptism at just about every Sunday. It seems that way in one of our services. By God's bringing these children and families to us over and over again, Friday in preschool, one of the moms came up to me and said, hey, we were raised in a different tradition. A tradition where they don't baptize children, but I really, really want to have my children baptized. Can that happen? And we said, yes, that can happen. And so later this summer, those children will be baptized. At our 11 o'clock service, there will be another baptism. Baptism is God's yes to us. Baptism is connected to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the waters of baptism, we are drowned. Through daily repentance that connects us to Jesus Christ. Baptism is God's claim on us. Baptism is saying, I love you. I'm saying yes to your mess. I want to forgive you. I want you to know that I have a future in heaven for you who believe. Baptism is God's yes to us. We will receive communion today from this altar. This altar is God's yes to us. This altar recognizes that we have messy lives, that we need God's forgiveness, God's yes to our mess. This altar reminds us that this was such a big deal to God that his son's body was broken and his son's blood spilled for our sake and for our salvation. God's yes to our mess. Tomorrow there will be parades and celebrations recognizing and honoring Memorial Day. Recognizing and honoring those who said yes and gave up their lives, sacrificed their lives for the very freedoms that we are experiencing right now. The freedom to worship. Worship as God has put in our hearts, a freedom we do not take for granted because of people who said yes to a call to serve our country. Memorial is a pretty big deal for our country. It's a pretty big deal for me because, as many of you know, my own dad died at age 37. The consequences of a disease that he contracted while he was serving in the Korean conflict. But my dad willingly said yes when his country called upon him. And we have always appreciated, even though he died way too young, we've always appreciated the values for which he gave his life. John, you're going to El Adonte. It's a yes response to God's yes in your life. In just a week and a half, Dave and Laura Schubert and Brian Patterson are going to Haiti to serve on another mission trip, another way of saying yes to God's yes in their lives, to care and to share and to follow John 14. Because they love God, they want to obey God's teaching, and that's what they're all about. This summer and fall, we will have many going on multiple mission trips. Why? They desire to obey God's teaching and live in the yes of God's love for them. Many will be serving in Vacation Bible School. Many will continue to serve with Rebuilding Together and Feed My Starving Children because it's a way of saying yes. With Feed My Starving Children this last February, some 1,200 of you from Good Shepherd joined the 6,000 from our community who said yes. It's not right that little children should starve to death. Yes, it is right that I go and pack meals so that as those little children receive those meals, they hear the yes of a Savior who loves them and allows them through these meals and that Word of God to celebrate their next birthday. God's yes. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And the theme of the Monday, first Monday chapel night here at Good Shepherd, and Ken, you know this so well, the theme of the first Monday chapel night that we had here at Good Shepherd, it's always a theme of open prayer, a time when people just come without anything scripted, just come and use the sanctuary. The next one is June 3rd, to come and pray. And that night, the special focus was on mental health awareness. And that night, because Mental Health Awareness Team had materials out, there were all kinds of examples of people who came and said, I really needed this. I needed to hear God saying yes to this situation. One gentleman came up and looked at the table, and he received some of the materials from the table. He was quiet at first, wouldn't really make eye contact. Then they told him about the speaking event, the Hope event, that was coming up this Wednesday on the 29th. He said he has a friend who needs that kind of help. She's in Indiana, and she's tried to take her life twice. And they made some connections with trained professionals who can offer some care and support for that person. And at the end of the conversation, he said, God does answer prayer. I needed this so much. My friend will benefit from this so much. That was God's yes to that person. Another person stopped by and said, I'm so glad you're doing this. Thank you so much. I have a friend who's in danger of taking their own life. We're getting connected. Thank you. They heard God's yes. God's yes to our mess. You need to know that as you have heard, as we have all heard this last week, about the tornadoes in Missouri and all the flooding that's going on around us, You need to know, I want you to know this, that you have already said yes. Because one of the first responses we all have is, what can we do to help, right? You need to know that 10% of your offerings, the first 10% of your offerings that you put in the plate today and you have in the past, the first 10% goes to ministries like Lutheran Disaster Relief. And you need to know that the moment you heard about those tornadoes in Missouri, Lutheran Disaster Relief was already there. They knew they were coming. They were there offering relief even as you were just getting the news. But you know what? You had already said yes. Those offerings that you give go to support ministries like Lutheran Disaster Relief, the ELCA Hunger Appeal, all of those kinds of ministries that care for people. When you see the news on TV and you ask, what can I do to help? You've already said yes. God, through your generosity and the generosity that God has first given you, is enabling you to say yes. Today, when the offering plate comes around and you generously give of the resources with which God has blessed you, you're saying yes to ministries that are transforming and impactful and make a difference in people's lives. It's God's yes through you to care for people who need you. That's what saying yes looks like in response to God's yes to us. That's what it looks like for us to hear the light of a Savior who says to us, if you love me, you obey my teaching. Jesus goes on at the end of our scripture today to say this, I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. In other words, don't be afraid to say yes to Jesus' teaching. That is, as Scripture says, if you love me, don't be afraid to obey my teaching. So the big question that we all have today, after you've heard several examples, the big question is this. What is the yes that God is placing on your heart today? What is the yes that God is placing on your heart today? And how will the sound of your yes give you sight? It's my prayer that our little grandson Andy, who was baptized that Sunday after Easter, still in diapers and not driving yet, but there will come a day when we say, where did that time go? It's my prayer that well before he gets his driver's permit, that he's learned how to say yes to God's yes to him. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, thank you so much for loving us, for caring for us, for saying yes to us. Yes in our mess. When we listen to your word, then we truly hear the light. The light that you bring into our world to see and for us to hear as we hear your word and experience your love. And hear your yes to us and through us. In your name we pray. Amen.